ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधि साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि ॐ ह्रीं दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे ह्रीं ॐ ॐ नमो भगवते दक्षिणामूर्तये ॐ नमो भगवते श्रीमेधा दक्षिणामूर्ति परब्रह्मणे ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् My pranams to all of you. If I ask you some questions, such as, would you all like to live in Frankfurt, or would you like to live in Berlin city? Some of you will say, we prefer staying in Frankfurt. Some of you will say, no, we will choose to go and live in Berlin. Would you like to live in Germany, or would you like to move to some other European country? I would like to go to England. Would you like to go to America? Or I know some of you like to go to Thiruvannamalai in India. Would you like to live here or there? If I ask, you all have choice. You all have a choice to, you can choose to live here, you can choose to go elsewhere. Similarly, would you like to eat bread or noodles? You have a choice. You can either choose to eat this, or you can choose to eat that, or you can choose to eat something else other than noodles and bread. Or you can choose not to eat also for one night. You have choice. Would you like to study in Berlin University, or would you like to go and study in Oxford University in England? Or would you like to study in local Frankfurt University? If I ask, you have choice. You have choice. You can choose to study in any one of the universities if you are eligible, qualified to study. You have choice. Would you like to wear pants, simple pants, Bermudas, or would like to wear something else, a cotton shirt, or would like to wear some synthetic material. You have choice. Would you like to watch this serial on the television, or would you like to watch some other serial? You have choice to watch this serial or that news, or you can choose to shut down the television. You can choose not to watch. You have choice. Like that, if I ask you one more question, would you like to be happy or would you like to be unhappy? Do you all have choice? Will you choose? All of you will unanimously choose one thing. Why should we choose to be unhappy? Even without our choice, enough of unhappiness, we will all choose to be happy. Do you have choice there? No choice. Who wants to be unhappy? Put up your hand. No, I'm always very, very happy. No, I think I like to be unhappy for some time. I don't mind being unhappy for some time. For a change. Put up a hand. No. Nobody. If I ask this question not only to you, to anybody in the world, people in America, people in Africa, people in the other parts of Germany, or people in United Kingdom, people in Europe, anywhere, or people in Asia or India, whether Christians or Muslims or Hindus, Sikhs, pagans, German-speaking, French-speaking, any of the whatever language you speak, whichever culture you belong to, whichever nationality you have, whoever is your parent, doesn't matter. All the human beings everywhere always will choose to be happy. Nobody would like to choose to be unhappy. From this, what you need to understand is that happiness is my choiceless end. Isn't it? I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. This is my choiceless end. In fact, what I seek ultimately, through all my accomplishments, through all my achievements, through all that I do, I perform, through the pursuit of wealth, through enjoyment of pleasures, even through the charitable activities, what every human being ultimately seeks is happiness. In the previous session, I think most of you were not here in the previous session, I mentioned this. Happiness is a choiceless end. And this happiness cannot be attained, need not be attained, because it is something which is already there as your own nature. So happiness is not a state of mind. If it is a state of mind, it will be impermanent. Any state of mind, even happiness is not even a given experience. It's not a state of mind. Any experience is a state of mind. Any state of mind is time bound, comes and goes. Like waking state is an experience which is not there when you are in dream. When you fall asleep, there is no waking state. So in sleep, you have deep sleep state experience, then you do not have dream, nor do you have the waking experience. When you are dreaming, when you are in dream experience, you do not have waking or deep sleep state experience. What does it mean? Any experience is a state of mind. And every experience will exclude the other experience, which means any experience comes and goes. And are you interested in some happiness which comes and goes, or are you interested in the everlasting permanent happiness? Therefore, you have to remember this fact. Happiness is not a state of mind, an experience which comes and goes. Happiness is something which is already there, which does not come, which will not come, which will not go away, which is always there, without arriving, without departing, which is always there is happiness. The non-arriving, non-departing, ever remaining is the happiness which is the choiceless end of a human mind. If it is non-arriving, non-departing, ever remaining, as the very truth, as the very nature of one's own self, as the very innermost nature of every being around, as the very nature of everything that is here, why is there unhappiness then? Why is there sorrow then? I said in the previous session, we do not know what happiness is. So our not knowing what happiness is the cause of our unhappiness. If you know what happiness ease, then there is only happiness. If you do not know what happiness is, then you can't help being unhappy, becoming unhappy. Therefore, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from sorrow, freedom from limitations, freedom from all forms of problems in life is in fact discovering, knowing what happiness is. I also said in the last class, this happiness is always there as the innermost essence of every being, everything, one's own self means. If happiness has to be discovered, means how to discover happiness? In fact, discovering what happiness is the attainment of happiness. Reveling in happiness. So I said, there is a reality. Otherwise called a truth. The reality of this universe in its entirety. The most abstract one. And happiness is, in fact, a synonym of the word fullness or limitlessness. Therefore, this happiness, which is a synonym of the word fullness or limitlessness, is available for recognition only as the nature of the reality. I'll give you the example. You see a big ocean. You see there's a big ocean. And the ocean is full of waves. And what is the reality or the truth with reference to the ocean? You'll all say very quickly, don't we know the answer? Very simple answer. Water. The H2O. How do you say water is the reality, the truth with reference to ocean? Because if we remove that one substance called water, the H2O, the entire ocean, all the waves will lose their existence. There will not be ocean anymore. There will not be waves anymore. They will be meaningless words. Ocean and waves will be meaningless words if there is one substance called water is not there. Therefore, it is very simple answer. With reference to ocean, water is the reality. Similarly, what is that one substance without which this entire universe of innumerably countless objects indicated by innumerably countless words. This entire cosmos, including your body, mind, sense complex, this whole universe, the word, the term cosmos, universe, will be meaningless without one substance, one thing, which is the reality with reference to the whole universe. With reference to ocean, you're all very clever. You know water. I can say the reality with reference to ocean is the water. What is the only reality with reference to this entire cosmos? Mind-boggling. It's easy to say water is the reality with reference to ocean and waves, with reference to this entire cosmos. What is the reality? Because cosmos means, universe means the innumerable, countless beings, things, living beings, non-living things, elements, elementals, all of them constitute the whole. And the only substance of all the beings, all the substantives which constitute one substantive, the universe, we do not know. We do not know the reality of this universe, the truth of this universe. Now I'll take you to the next step. When you say water is the reality of the ocean, reality with reference to the ocean, how is water there? Water is in the form of the existence of the ocean. Which part of the ocean is not filled with water? Which part of the wave, which part of the ocean is not filled with water? The entire ocean, every wave, in and through, is non-removably is filled with water. Isn't it? Can you remove the water from the wave? No. Can you remove the water from the ocean, the name and form ocean? No. Which means water fills the ocean. And to be full of the ocean, to fill the ocean, what effort does the water, the reality, do? What effort does the water make to fill the ocean? No effort. Nothing. What does it mean? Being full, to be full of the ocean, is the very nature of the water. Is it clear? To fill the ocean, to be full of the ocean, water need not make any efforts, need not do any action. Water is means, in the with reference to ocean, water remains filling the ocean. So to be full, being full, is the very nature of the water, the reality with reference to ocean. Make that word being full into a noun. Becomes fullness. Understand? Fullness is the nature of the water with reference to ocean. Similarly, fullness is the being full, being all pervasive. Fullness is the nature of the reality with reference to its cosmos. Understand? Therefore, fullness is the another word, synonym of the word happiness. Understand? And here comes the question. If you want to discover what happiness is, you have to discover what fullness is. Discovering fullness means what? Discovering fullness is discovering happiness. And what is fullness? Very nature of the reality. Nature means if you do not know what the sun is, then you will not know what the light means. We say sun illumines everything. It is summer now. You don't have gloomy Germany in summer. You have bright, everywhere there is brilliance, lot of light. Sun illumines everything here. So what action does sun do to illumine everything? Nothing. Sun, mere presence. Sun is present. By its mere presence, sun illumines everything. Therefore, illumining is the nature of the sun. Isn't it? Sun need not do anything. Very nature. Can you separate sun and the illumination? Can you separate sun and the light? Can you say sun remains dark for some time? Can you say that? No. Sun is ever bright, ever brilliant, ever blazing. Why? Being brilliant, shining is the very nature of the sun. That is why we call this light is the intrinsic, inseparable nature of the sun. Swarupam. In Sanskrit, we use the term swarupam. Just as light is inseparable nature of the sun, heat is the inseparable intrinsic property of the fire. So also, happiness or fullness is the inseparable intrinsic nature of the reality. If you know what the fire is, you definitely know what the heat is. If you know what the sun is, you definitely know what the light is. You cannot say, I know the sun, but I do not know what the light is. You cannot say that. I know what the fire is, I do not know what the heat means. You cannot say. If you know what the fire is, you definitely know what the heat is. Similarly, if you know what the reality is, you definitely know what the fullness is, what happiness is. Understand? I said this in the previous class. For knowledge of the reality, knowing what reality is, in fact, knowing what happiness is. Therefore, there is no way of discovering happiness, knowing happiness, without having understood what the reality is. Therefore, attainment of happiness is discovering what happiness is. And discovering what happiness is, in fact, discovering what the reality of the whole cosmos is. And the next question comes, how to discover the reality? Discovering reality is, in fact, how to discover, where to discover the reality? Oh my God, we find difficult, without discovering, without knowing, without all these difficulties, please teach us a meditative technique. We are prepared to sit in meditation for hours and hours. We want to experience the truth soon, Swamiji. If we are going to talk like this, we are not really interested. We want something fast food. Quickly go. Don't even get down from the car. Park the car in front of the shop. You just show your hand like this. The fast food person, you know, comes out quickly, gives you the menu card. You just say this. Immediately he brings all the food. Pay the money. Move out. Fast food. People want happiness also. How? Teach some quickest meditative method, technique. Don't want this, don't talk to us about this knowledge on intellectual business. Very difficult and hard. It's not practical for us. Teach us something or some, give some mantra or some mystic, some mantra or some meditative technique, and which will, you know, we are ready to do practice that. And we want to experience happiness, fullness. And we want to become enlightenment before we leave this hall. We want to attain enlightenment. If somebody comes and promises, don't get carried away. Don't get carried away. Why? Because any experience will go quickly, and you are not interested wasting all your time to attain something which goes quickly. Understand? Therefore, do I need to know what the reality is, what the truth of the cosmos is? Yes, you need not know, no? You need not have the knowledge of all the knowledge of biology, physics, chemistry, biotechnology, medical engineering and all those things. No. Any knowledge is beautiful, wonderful. Knowledge of any discipline is beautiful. But here, knowledge of the reality of the whole, is again choiceless end. Do you want to study physics or chemistry? You have choice. No, I want to do physics major. You can study chemistry as your ancillary subject. No, I want to study biology, not physical science. You have choice. I want to study engineering or math, you know, medicine. You have choice. Do you want to attain the knowledge of the reality or not? You would have said, I'm not at all interested in that knowledge of the reality. I want to attain some knowledge which will help me get a job, which will help me earn money, which will help me earn money with which I can enjoy pleasures, enjoy life. But now you will understand. Do you want to attain the knowledge of the reality or not? Any intelligent person who has understood the connection between the knowledge of the reality and the happiness, which is a choiceless end, he will not say, no, I am not interested in the knowledge of the reality. You will jump and say, please tell me how to attain the knowledge of the reality. Until you know the value of the knowledge, you would not have been interested in the attainment of the knowledge of the truth. Now you know the value of the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Unless and until I discover what the reality is, reality is. It is there. Like how in every wave, in every drop of water, in every ripple, in the entire ocean, inseparably, non-removably, the water is there as the very existence of the name and form ocean and waves. Always, come on, tell me which time the water is not there in the name and form ocean. Never, always. If the water is not there, the ocean would have gone. Therefore, there's never a time the reality is not there. Reality is there as the truth of all the beings you see here. In every ant, every unicellular organism, like amoeba, paramecium, onwards, all the multicellular organisms, all the living beings, all the creatures, in everything, in and through pervading what is there is the subtlest reality. But unfortunately, it is not available for our perception. It is not available for our objectification. It is not available for any experiment. You cannot even use any of your microscope. The best, latest microscope also will not help you. It is not available for objectification at all. It remains covered. Therefore, you need to discover what that reality is. Obtaining as the innermost essence of everything that is here, including yourself. I know the value of the knowledge of the truth, because only by discovering the truth, happiness becomes discovered. Only by discovering happiness, I can revel in happiness. Until then, I can't help going through limitations, going through pains and pleasures and sorrows in life. Everybody understands the connection between the knowledge of the truth and happiness, which is my absolute end, ultimate, choiceless end. Therefore, knowledge is said to be the means, and happiness is said to be the end. In fact, means and end are not two different things. Here, means itself is the end. Knowledge, discovery of the truth itself is discovery of happiness. Discovery of happiness is discovery of freedom from limitations. Discovery of freedom from sorrow. Discovery of freedom from unhappiness. In Sanskrit language, it's called moksha. Understand? Knowledge is happiness. Therefore, knowledge is freedom from unhappiness. And how do we see it? Freedom from unhappiness. The discovery of happiness is the ultimate end. And knowledge of the truth is the means to accomplish the end. In fact, means and end are identical. They are not two. Once you know the value of the knowledge of the truth, how to know the truth? Choiceless. You have no choice. whether you study physics or not, want to study chemistry or not, you have choice, you can just bunk. But you here you can't. If you have clarity in terms of what am I living this life for, if you are definite about the ultimate, absolute end being discovery of happiness, then you have no choice. You will definitely, choicelessly, unavoidably, inevitably pursue the knowledge of the truth. Okay, how to know the truth now? How to discover the truth? This also I said in the last class. I'm repeating because some of you were not here. The truth of the whole is not available for objectification, not available for perception means. It is available for recognition only in one's own mind. All pervasive reality, timeless reality, which is there always, everywhere, as everything, as the truth of everything, but still, where can you recognize the reality? Only in one's own mind. One's own mind. As the very truth of the mind. As the very truth of one's own self. In fact, I said this, there is I, the first person singular pronoun I. When do you use that I? You use that only when you refer to yourself. I. Whenever you refer to yourself, you use this pronoun, I. You know you are. You always say, I am. You know you are. But you do not know what you are. You need not work hard to know whether you are or not. Is there anybody who has a doubt? Am I? I do not know, Swaminiji, whether I am. If anybody has a doubt, and we will not send you home alone. We'll have to call people, inform, to see that you get home, reach home safe. Understand? There was no doubt. You all know. I know I am. We all know we are. But have you ever asked what you are? No. We do not know. I do not know what I am. In fact, how this mic is a substantive, is a word, term, indicating a given object. Camera, computer, light, wall, they're all different substantives. Like I is a first person singular pronoun, is a substantive. Like wave is a substantive. Ocean is a substantive. But the substance without which the substantive wave will be meaningless is water. Therefore, you all can say, if I ask you, are there many waves in the ocean? You will say, yes, there are many waves. What are these waves? What each wave is all about? You will say, Swamiji, don't you know this? Wave is nothing but water. You know wave is, you know waves are, you also know wave, every wave is nothing but water. Understand? Similarly, the substance of the substantive wave is water. Therefore, you all say wave is water. Similarly, what is the substance of the substantive I, the first person singular pronoun I? We do not know. Understand? And this is where the scripture helps us. The reality is available for recognition only in one's own mind as the very substance, the truth of the substantive I. If you know what you are, your half knowledge, I am, I know I am, is a half knowledge. I am, if you know what you are, the knowledge is complete, total, then you know what the reality is. So what to understand here, the knowledge of the reality is nothing but the knowledge of the truth of one's own self. There's no way of attaining the knowledge of the whole, truth of the whole, without having attained the knowledge of the truth of oneself. In fact, discovery of the truth of I, the truth of one's own self, is discovery of the truth of the whole. Discovery of the truth of the whole is, in fact, discovery of what fullness is. Discovery of what fullness is, in fact, reveling in the knowledge of fullness, which is happiness. Understand? Therefore, reality does not arrive, does not go. The truth of every one of you, the truth of every one of us, the innermost essence, the being, the substance of substantive I, is in fact reality. You are, just as when is wave not the water? Wave is always the water. Similarly, you are always the reality. And happiness, fullness happens to be the nature of the reality. Your nature is, your swarupam is fullness, happiness. You are already the reality, the truth, and you are already the happiness you are seeking. You cannot become happy. As long as you are making effort to become happy, you will be endlessly making efforts, because you are already happiness. You are the truth already, and happiness is your very nature. If you know what you are, you will understand happiness being your very nature. That is why happiness is something which does not come and go. Intrinsic nature cannot come and go. Understand? Therefore, discovering yourself is the discovery of the truth. Discovery of the truth is discovery of fullness. And discovery of fullness is discovery of in happiness, reveling in fullness. This much I said in the previous class. This is not something new. For the people who had already heard me, they would have heard this. I repeated the same for the sake of the people who were not there in the previous session. Now let me tell you something differently. If we ask this question, happiness is a choiceless ultimate end, which means a human being is choicelessly, always, knowingly or unknowingly, searching for everlasting peace and happiness. Why are you searching for happiness? It is already there, you would not be searching. I told you already, you do not know. And you can say, because human beings are unhappy. Not always unhappy. All the people are not always unhappy. People are happy, but whoever is happy, everybody has unhappiness also in one's life. They are unhappy. There is unhappiness in one's life. Nobody here can say, no, I have no unhappiness at all in my life. Come on, put up your hand. Let me see. Who can say that? And the question comes, why there is unhappiness in one's life? And simply if you ask, we'll all say, what is this? You're asking all stupid questions, Swamiji. You know, we have lots of problems in our lives. Everyone has one's own problems. All the human beings have their own respective problems. Of course, all of them are not having the same problems. Everyone has one's own problems. Different people have different problems. Varied problems. Actually, what is your problem is not at all my problem. My problem is not your problem. But all of us have our own problems. Because so many problems in life, and we are unhappy. Now the next question comes, why these different people have different types of problems which make them unhappy? Why these problems are? And we will give our own reasons. You know, my problems are because of this. My problems are because of this. My problems are because of my neighbors, dogs. Other person, everyone will have reasons for one's problems. My problems are because of this local council chief. Whenever I go for a benefit, and always shows long face, lots of problems. And here I tell you one thing. We all should be happy about this. Even though there is some unhappiness in our lives because of our problems, we should all be happy to know this fact. There is no human being, rich or poor, uneducated or educated, literate or illiterate, man or woman, young or old, nobody is free from problems. Everyone has one's own peculiar problems. There must be some common cause of all these problems. Different problems of different human beings must have one common fundamental problem, which is the cause of all these different problems. Yes, there is. We do not know what that problem is. If we already knew what that problem is, then we would have started working to solve that problem. Isn't it true? We only know we have problems, but we do not know what actually the cause of the problem is. When some problems come in life, and we work hard to sort out that problem. By the time we sort out one problem, we solve one problem, readily waiting another problem. And we solve that one and a new one comes. We solve that one, again another new one comes. That is what is the problem. That's why problems never come to an end. Not coming to an end is the nature of the problem. What is the problem? That which is always there, that which doesn't get solved, or when it gets solved, that which gives rise to a new one, always happily, before leaving, giving rise to a new one, okay, and saying bye to you is the problem. So here the question comes, what is the common cause of all these human beings? Different problems they have, but they all must have one. There is one common human fundamental problem. Which problem we do not recognize, we do not know, we cannot know ourselves. The scripture says, with reference to that common human fundamental problem, which is the basis, cause for all the different problems of different human beings, we are all sailing in the same boat. What does it mean? No one is an exception here. The scripture says, don't get upset. Human being mistakes himself for something which he is not. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. You were patient all this time. Now we don't want to accept what I say. I don't mistake myself for something which I am not. I know who I am, I know what I am. I am son of so-and-so, husband of so-and-so, father of so-and-so. I work as this person, I live in this country, I live in this city, Frankfurt city. Really speaking, this is the common human fundamental problem. There is error in perception of one's own self. Leave alone your perception of others. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. Then you accept me. Okay, let us accept this mad Swamini. And you ask me the question, come on. Okay, let us accept what you say. You say, I mistake myself for something which I am not. Why do I mistake myself for something which I am not? Because you do not know what you are. You mistake yourself for something which you are not. Why do you mistake yourself for something which you are not? Because you do not know what you are. Oh. Not only you do not know what you are, you do not know that you do not know what you are. You are ignorant of your ignorance of yourself. At least now, you start thinking, yes. Okay, let us listen to this woman. You do not know that you do not know what you are. You do not know what you are. You are ignorant of yourself. You are not totally ignorant like an animal. Monkey does not know I am. Monkey does not know, okay, what I am also. Monkey cannot know also. Not only monkey, any animal for that matter. But you are superior being, most sophisticated being. You know you are. You have half knowledge. You are a self-conscious being. But you do not know what you are. You have half knowledge. You know you are. That is half knowledge. If you know what you are, then your knowledge of yourself will be complete, total knowledge. Understand? Total knowledge is freedom. Total knowledge is happiness. Total ignorance is bliss. Half knowledge is dangerous. Isn't it true? See, now there is bright light thanks to Franz and Eva, they've given us these bright lights. And you see all the words as words. Are you afraid of seeing these words? Is there fear in your minds now? No. Because you see the wire as the wire, you are able to see what is in the bright light. No fear. Isn't it? Suppose, like Indian villages, the power goes, the electric power gets disconnected or goes. Then suddenly the light gets switched off. There is darkness. It is night time. There is utter darkness. And suddenly, you know, none of us can, we know we're all sitting here. None of us can see, you know, others. None of us. I know you're all sitting in front of me, but still there's darkness, but I cannot see your faces. Nor can you people see my face or anybody else's face here. And you, we cannot see the walls, we cannot see anything. We know the walls are, we know everything is, but we cannot see anything because utter darkness. I do not know here the snakes are in this country. And then from the tree, one real snake jumps in. Somehow it comes crawling. And then snake from that plant, it gets onto this plant and slowly it started crawling inside. Because it is dark here, real snake has come in crawling, but we are all very cool, waiting for the light to come back. We are all not at all scared. We are very cool. Why you are not frightened, even though there's a real snake crawling inside? You do not know there's a real snake crawling under this mat. You're sitting on top of it. And you also think, oh, somebody else's leg from behind is moving. That's why something, you feel the movement of something. You're not scared. You're getting up and jumping and running. Why? You're not scared. There's no fear. Ignorance is bliss. You're ignorant. You do not know there's a snake underneath, crawling. You're all cool, sitting quietly, calm. In fact, you want to do meditation also. So because there's no light, you all simply do Ramanama Japa mentally, cool. Then what happens? Little later, the power connection comes back, but still the voltage drops. It's all problems we have in India. I don't have here, but I'm telling still. Therefore, you don't get a bright light here, and we manage to get some dim light. It is not utter darkness here. It is not very bright also like this, but there is some dim light. Okay? Because there's a dim light, and you're all sitting. And in dim light, the other wire coming from this side, suddenly somebody from there sees the other wire in the dim light. And he thinks, for him, it looks like a crawling snake. And he tells slowly the another person, behind Swamiji, isn't it a snake? Look at this, something, it looks crawling. And he, yeah, it looks the same. And he tells other person. And suddenly, when you see this, you show the third person, yes, snake only. And finished, all of his get up and scream. You're all so frightened. And then France says, come on, there is no snake in my house, there are only wires. But you will not listen because in dim light, in your perception, there is a snake. And other person goes and brings the stick and to hit the snake, to kill it. And you are hitting also. If there is real snake, you can hit and kill it. There is no real snake. So now to get rid of the fear, what you need? How will you get rid of the fear caused by the snake you saw? By killing the snake or by discovering what the snake is? As long as you try to undo the snake, kill the snake, destroy the snake, your efforts, you will never get rid of the fear of snake. No way. It will be endless effort because there is no real snake. Whatever efforts you make, you will try to undo the snake. The snake will continue to be there. Why? There is no real snake. So, any effort you make, any action you make, okay, you sit in the car and start meditating, still the snake will be there. Fear will be there. So the fear, nothing will remove the fear of snake. Only understanding what this is alone will remove your fear, isn't it? So what Franz does, manages to connect something and again brings the bright light back. The bright light and takes to torch it also, goes near and now puts on that and shows, oh, in a bright light you see the what is there is only another wire. In discovering what is, what happens? You did not chase away, drive away the snake. That snake resolves in the very wire. Understand? Which means, what do you understand from here? In utter darkness, even the real snake does not cause fear. Similarly, in total ignorance, if you do not know you are, you are blissfully ignorant. You do not, cannot know what you are. In total ignorance, you remain steeped in total ignorance, there is no unhappiness. There is bliss. There is no happiness also. Okay? In total ignorance, there is bliss. Like how you are in sleep. In bright light also, when you see the wire as the wire, there is no fear. So in total, like bright light is like what? Total knowledge. In total knowledge, there is happiness. Like in bright light, there is no fear. In total knowledge, there is no sorrow. In total ignorance, there is no unhappiness. But in dim light, understand? Only the light is dim, doubt, fear, all that comes. Similarly, in half knowledge, you all know you are. But you do not know what you are. In half knowledge, there is sorrow, unhappiness, sadness, grief, hurt, guilt, hatred, anger. attachment, passion, dependence. Isn't it? Therefore, please understand, total ignorance is bliss. All the animals, no animal has emotional problem. No way. Do we have a counseling center for animals? Which monkey or donkey or elephant, cat wants a psychotherapist? No. No animal is worried. You know, nobody cares for me. I'm all alone. Which cat complains to you? Why? Animals have no emotional problems. Why? Because animals have no self-consciousness. I am. That half knowledge is not there on the part of animals. Therefore, they are not eligible to have the knowledge, make the knowledge total also. Remain steeped in total ignorance. They have life. They are born. They can eat, drink, reproduce, become adult, big ones, die. Animals' life is complete, whereas a human being's life is not complete. We simply drink, eat, have sex, beget children, reproduce, die. No, we have purpose. Our lives are not like animals' lives. I'm not belittling animals, okay? Animals are also, we have to be kind to animals, that's a different thing. I'm just saying, as a human being, there is a purpose of living this life. It's a purposeful life. Every one of us have. We all have a purpose in life. What is the purpose? Ultimate purpose. I am blessed with this half knowledge. I know I am. By discovering what I am, by knowing who I am, the knowledge becomes complete, total knowledge. In total knowledge, I discover fullness as my own nature. And I reveling in fullness is discovery of happiness. And this is the purpose. And one who knows this end, the purpose being there, and one who knows this being a choiceless end, and one who is committed to the pursuit of this knowledge of the self, which is the knowledge of the truth, which is in fact commitment to the pursuit of the absolute end called moksha, this person is a spiritual person. Understand? And here comes the next. Therefore, this half knowledge is something you can't let it be like that. Understand? You are blessed with half knowledge and see that half knowledge becomes total knowledge. Making this knowledge, if you there is total ignorance, if you do not know you are like an animal and you are not qualified for knowing what you are, isn't it? Then that is animal. If you know what you are, you do not know what you are a human being. If you discover what you are in total knowledge, you are God. Understand? In total ignorance, animal. In half knowledge, you are a human being. In total knowledge, you are God. Understanding? Understand? Therefore, the self-ignorance is, we don't need to feel guilty. Oh my God, why am I having ignorance? Ignorance is natural. It is not created. Every human mind naturally is what now is blessed with half knowledge and also what? There's half ignorance. Because you do not know what you are, helplessly you mistake yourself for something which you are not. Okay, which means there is error in perception of yourself. You mistake the body, you mistake your sense powers, you mistake your powers of organs of actions, you mistake your physiological functions, you mistake your mind, you mistake your intellect, you mistake your memory, even you mistake your ego for yourself. There is wrong identity. You mistake your body for yourself. You mistake your sense organs for yourself. You have identity with all your personality. You are the person. This erroneous perception of oneself is called adhyasaha. Self-ignorance is called ajnanam. Error in perception of oneself is adhyasaha. When you mistake yourself for something what you are not, what happens? You mistake the limitations of what you are not as your limitations. The body has birth, body has death, body undergoes changes, body gets old, body ages, isn't it? Your skin gets wrinkles, head becomes bald. What happens? You mistake all the limitations, attributes of your body, of your mind, of your body, mind, sense complex as your limitations. So anything other, so you are the truth. The truth is implied by a term, beautiful term called Atma. Atma means all pervasive, only reality, obtaining as the innermost self, as the truth of I, is what actually Atma. So you are Atma. But what? Anything other than yourself is what? Anatma. The non-self is anatma. The truth of every wave is water. Similarly, the truth of I obtaining in every mind is what? One and the only reality. That is why reality, we use the term self. Atma, the reflective pronoun, reflexive pronoun, self. The only self obtaining as the truth of every I, obtaining in every mind. Other than I, isn't it? The truth, self, everything else is what? Anatma, the non-self. Therefore, the limitations of the non-self are mistaken to be the limitations of the self. And this is called superimposition. Superimposition of the attributes, the limitations of the non-self upon the self. In Sanskrit is called adhyaropaha. Whether you like it or not, I just want to say. When you mistake the limitations of the non-self as the limitations of the self, then what will be your self-image? And you have all, you conclude, you make conclusions about yourself. You see yourself through the conclusions you make about yourself. You entertain notions about yourself. What is the notion you have about yourself? I am small. I am inadequate. I am unhappy. I am insignificant. I was born on such and such a date. I am going to die one day. So I am a mortal. I am small in terms of looks. Look at this, how beautiful nose Eva has. I don't have a beautiful nose. I'm small in terms of looks. I'm small in terms of wealth. Look at how big house they have. I have a small place here. I live in a small apartment, you know. I'm small in terms of wealth. I'm small in terms of looks. You know, he got his PhD in Berlin University, Frankfurt University. Now he's going to get one more postdoctoral fellowship in another university. Look at me, not even a graduate, struggling. I'm small in terms of academic qualifications. And this person knows so much. I'm small in terms of knowledge. One phone call, she can get so many people. If I call, nobody comes. I'm small in terms of influence. I'm small in terms of money power. I'm small in terms of manpower. I'm small in terms of attracting people. I'm small. I'm inadequate. Unsuccessful. I'm insignificant. I'm unhappy. I'm a mortal. All these notions. I can give you a few, okay? These are the notions all of us, whether you agree with me or not, you don't need to agree with me, I know. All of us have these notions. Everyone entertain these notions as, no, about ourselves. And please understand now, it is these notions, not that we want to have these notions. Please understand. Now, you don't need to find fault with yourself. You don't need to feel guilty about yourself. Helplessly, naturally, how we are all entertaining these wrong notions about ourselves. It is these notions give rise to the fundamental common human fundamental desire. Understand? Now please understand what desire is. I was telling day before yesterday. How to understand the desire? Understand? Understand anger. How desire comes? Desire for anything in the world. Whatever, very natural for us to have desire for anything. Any desire of any human being is very natural. You are not creating your desires. Desires are part of you. Do you create your nail? Do you create your hair? No. It is part of you, your personality, it naturally grows. Similarly, you are not creating your desires. Therefore, you cannot destroy your desires. Desires are part of you, your mind. So, all of us have different desires for different objects and different things in the world. Different, you know, why? Because all these desires actually are symptoms of one disease. What is that fundamental problem, fundamental desire? I want to be bigger than what I am. I am small, there is a notion. That notion gives rise to what? I want to be bigger than what I am. I am unhappy is the notion you have about yourself. That gives rise to what? I want to be happy. I am a mortal. That gives rise to what? I want to live long, happily. Understand? That's why it is these notions give rise to the common human fundamental desire of wanting to live long, happily. I want to live long, happily. This is the common human fundamental desire. And it is this one desire alone crops up, no? In fact, becomes so many desires in the mind of so many people for so many things. Whether it's a child's desire for balloon, or your desire for buying a new BMW, or somebody else's desire for buying a new gadget, whatever desire one has, all the desires are, in fact, modified forms of this one common human fundamental desire. I want to live long, happily. Understand? Therefore, all the desires are in fact expressions of this one desire. And this one desire is, in fact, because of the wrong notions you have about yourself. So how long will there be desires? The desires will be as long as this fundamental desire is. The fundamental desire will be as long as you entertain wrong notions about yourself. The wrong notions about yourself, I am unhappy, I am insignificant, I am a mortal, I am small. These notions you have about yourself, wrong notions you have about yourself will be there as long as you superimpose the limitations of non-self upon the self. The superimposition will be there as long as you mistake yourself for something which you are not. There is erroneous self-perception. Erroneous self-perception will be there as long as you do not know what you are. Understand? Therefore, root cause of the problem is what now? In fact, the ignorance. Therefore, the fundamental problem is the problem of the smallness, the sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, centered on I.